Is Dukes and Bell. More about the Hawks having the number one pick and the draft tomorrow night. But we've got to talk some soccer with our man Garth Lagaway, who is president of Atlanta United. And Garth, I want to start with the reports about Thiago Almada has agreed to a personal term with the team in Brazil. And I want to get your thoughts as we start this conversation before we get into who's next on our schedule and how we played in our last game, because this seems to be top of mind for a lot of United fans.
Yeah. Look, I mean, Thiago Almada's under contract to Atlanta United, so I'm pretty confident he can't be under contract at two places at once. So, look, it's a silly season in soccer terms. The transfer windows are just starting to open up around the world. And we always say, you know, our concern would be if at some point people aren't talking about our players. So if our players are doing well and Thiago is headed to the Olympics with Argentina, he was the best player for them in qualifying for the Olympics. So I think a lot of people are interested in him and his performance. And we take that interest as positive, and that'll just create more opportunities for Thiago and for Atlanta United.
I saw earlier today that John Textor, who, again, made his money in TV in Hollywood, now he owns Eagle Football Holdings, owns a bunch of teams, including that Botafogo down in Brazil. He said that rumors about that were not true, but he was going to call you. So has John Textor called you?
I have talked to John on a couple of occasions. He's that seems to be a nice man and obviously a good, really good business person. And, you know, he and I will keep those conversations between he and I. But suffice to say that, you know, yes, the contact that maybe you're reading about on the internet is happening, but I don't know that we can jump to any of the conclusions that some people seem tempted to make.
Right.
Because as I said, Thiago remains under contract to us, and you know, there's nothing approaching any kind of deal that's done with in regard to him.
And look, we know the business model, you know, your predecessor, we get it. It sucks because we love Almada, and he's certainly gave you some great highlights the last couple of days. But yeah, that's part of, you agree though, part of the business model is to make money in the transfer window and then go get more guys.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, working for Mr. Blank, we have the privilege, we have the luxury where we don't need to make money. You know, what we do is when we were able to buy a guy for one price and sell him for a lot more than that, like we did with Giacomakis, then Mr. Blank allows us to reinvest all of that back in the next guy. So, you know, you're using it to climb the ladder and sign better and better players, not to profit. You know, but it's a really cool tool. Anytime we sell a player and, you know, we do so at a benefit, then it allows us to make the team better.
All right, so I just want to be clear, Garth. You cannot confirm that he has made a personal term or a deal with a team in Brazil. Yes?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
All right. I want to make sure. Let's talk about Rob Valentino since he's taken over. Tell me what you think.
Unbeaten since Rob Valentino took over. You know, too scrappy, not always pretty, gritty draws. And that was one of the things that we challenged Rob with when he took over was, you know, we understand we can play some beautiful soccer sometimes, but we got to be able to win when it isn't always beautiful. And I think you saw that in D.C. and at Seattle, St. Louis, back-to-back road games. We got 4 points, and that's really encouraging. Now, we still seem to not be as good at home for some reason, which is just genuinely bizarre. But we got Toronto here at home this weekend, and you know, we're excited about that one. If we can get a home win, I think we'll really have a little head of steam going into the back half of the season.
Have you earmarked some guys that you might be interested in to go pick up? Because I love Saba's game. You know, it sucks when you have to lose guys for international competition.
Saba!
But, I mean, he just seems like, if hypothetically, losing Yorgos and now he may lose Almada, you got to get some guys that can put the ball in the basket.
Yep. Yeah, actually. Look,
or the net. Sorry, wrong sport. In the net.
Yeah, you know, it's same concept, right? Look, we're actively trying to replace Giacomakis as we speak. You know, we obviously the questions around Almada have been here certainly since I've been here. So we've been working on that replacement as well. And you know, so look, those conversations are fluid, they're ongoing. But yeah, we got some really interesting potential guys. And you know, those things don't become real until you transfer the players. That's one of the reasons was that we were willing to do the Giacomakis deal we did, was now that clears the decks and you can go to all these prospective forwards and say, hey, we got a position available. So that empowers us there in that. And we're really looking to see if we can bring in an impactful player in that spot.
Garth, what's the big date? What are we talking about here with the transfer window? What are the dates that fans can look forward to and saying, okay, our team could potentially change when?
July 18, the transfer window opens, so we can't sign anybody before then. The way the league schedule sets out this year, we actually play one game. We play Columbus July 20th when the window opens, mm-hmm. And after that we have League's Cup, and then we don't play another regular season game until August 24. After that transfer window closes, it closes on August 14th. So July 18th is the magic date, but given that we have one regular season game, it really becomes okay. How do these players potentially impact League's Cup? And we got those two home games toward the back half of July. DC United, Santos Laguna, and so we're hoping that we have potentially options in place by then. But look, it's further complicated because Caleb Wiley, Thiago Almada look like, we don't know this yet, but looks like they're going to go to the Olympics. And if they go to the Olympics, then that's right around that same time, that back half of July. And the men's Olympic final is August 9th. Just 5 days before the transfer window closes. So could see a lot of shenanigans, a lot of trade deadline type stuff. I think it's going to be a very, very active summer for us in terms of the next 6-7 weeks.
Atlanta United President CEO Garth Lagerwey with us, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. Last time we saw you, we were up at the training ground. That was right after that. You know, good vibes about beating Miami and Messi and company. And then, unfortunately, you had to move on from Pineda. You're sitting ninth in the standings. Is this still, I mean, big picture, you're still going to take a few steps backwards to get the team where you want it to be?
Look, we are going to certainly make some of these big decisions with the long term in mind. But that said, we hired Rob because we thought under his leadership we could make the playoffs. And again, I think you saw some of that. You saw the grit. You saw the resolve. We pulled the goal back in St. Louis. We pulled the goal back against Houston, you know, and took the lead and, you know, eventually couldn't hold it. But, you know, we're showing some signs. And we are optimistic that Bartosz Szlich will be back for the weekend with Poland being eliminated from the Euros today. And, you know, maybe even Saba getting back in the saddle, depending on what happens with Georgia. So, you know, we'll see. But we actually are going to be, you know, we'll be adding, you know, Abram in Peru. That's the other one that's out there. But, you know, these are guys that could come back and strengthen our team. We're getting Gregerson back from injury. Derek Williams has been steady in there again. So, you know, yes, we will have a couple guys out, but we'll have a couple guys back in. You know, and that's Rob's job then, is can we maximize and can we win these games? Because we're probably not going to be completely fully operational again until August.
I want to ask you something about the growth of this game. Attendance in MLS is up 12%, all right, compared to the same data in 2023. Now, you being a numbers guy, I know you're probably familiar with this, and I'm sure the league has put stuff out there. But 6.5 million fans have attended matches, a total of 279 matches, in the first half of the regular season. So the growth is there, Garth. And you know, people say, oh, it's messy. It's beyond that. And that's what I want to ask you. What is it? I mean, you guys were just in St. Louis. Like, we're seeing expansion. We've been talking a lot about Caitlin Clark and the WNBA and how this is going to help their growth. And I'm not comparing MLS to that. But there is something going on here. What is it, do you think?
Yeah, look, in both of those examples, right, the star far does matter, right, because then more people pay attention. The general sports fans like, oh, I should check that out, right?
Right.
But what we have on top of that is the World Cup. And the World Cup's still 2 years away, but that's a huge thing, in particular in Atlanta, I think, because of the legacy of the Olympics, you know, 30-day sporting tournament, you know, was really transformational to Atlanta's growth over the next, you know, 20, 30 years. World Cup, you know, that's a soccer-specific tournament, but I think it's really going to put our city on the map. In terms of becoming the soul of soccer, so to speak. But it's already starting now. You know, we had 70,000-plus people on last Thursday for Argentina against Canada, and the place was absolutely bananas. I thought the roof was going to fall in when Argentina scored. And now you're following that up, and the U.S. men are playing there Thursday at 6 o'clock. You know, still just a couple tickets remaining, but, you know, that's going to be another massive crowd for soccer. And, you know, you're going to have these folks that come to Mercedes-Benz Stadium and see what I've been saying, what we've been preaching, which is that this is one of the nicest soccer stadiums in the world. And then they'll realize it's in their backyard, and they can come watch Atlanta United play. So I really think it's going to help us grow our audience on top of some of that messy star power. And that's the direction that soccer's going. I really think that we are going to lean in, and our audience is really going to grow as we capture more and more of those general sports fans, or maybe those folks that maybe haven't been paying attention week in, week out, and they're like, hey, you know what? My kid plays soccer. You know, I might want to go to an Atlanta United game. And we have yet to find anybody that goes to Mercedes-Benz Stadium and has a bad time.
Yeah, Miami obviously has shattered attendance records. Sporting Kansas City, New England. These are all clubs. Like, we think about our attendance, and it's easy to see, but we don't think about what's going on around the league. And I think it's fascinating that the growth is there. And, you know, a lot of these teams who don't have a Messi, all right, are still selling out and still putting 60, 65,000 fans into the stands. Garth, man, we appreciate you. Good luck this weekend against Toronto and all the action right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pre-game 6:30. Kick is at 7:30. Garth Lagerwey, thank you.